You're listening to The Philosopher's Note on the success principles. More wisdom in less time.
Hi, this is Brian. Welcome to The Philosopher's Notes on the success principles by Jack Canfield. Quote, you may also discover that you're already familiar with some of the principles here. That's great. But ask yourself, am I currently practicing them? If not, make a commitment to put them into action now. Remember, the principles only work if you work the principles. End quote. That's Jack Canfield from the Success Principles. You probably know Jack Canfield as the creator of the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, or maybe you caught him on The Secret. He's been living these success principles for the last several decades, and his life is a demonstration of their power. And I've got to say, there's so much mojo in this book. It's kind of funny to do a philosopher's notes on it because it's essentially one really big idea after another. In fact, I could probably write at least 50 notes on these success principles, but that'd kind of defeat the purpose of these notes, so I'll trust you'll enjoy. And if you're feeling it, I highly recommend you get the book. I first listened to it and then read it on my Kindle. Both ways rock. We'll start with the most important factor to your success, doing your own push-ups, of course. Do your own push-ups. Quote, as motivational philosopher Jim Rohn has so aptly put it, you can't hire someone else to do your push-ups for you. You must do them yourself if you are to get any value out of them. Whether it's exercising, stretching, meditating, reading, studying, learning a new language, creating a mastermind group, setting measurable goals, visualizing success, repeating affirmations, or practicing a new skill, you are going to have to do it. No one else can do these things for you. I will give you the roadmap, but you will have to drive the car. I will teach you the principles, but you will have to apply them. If you choose to put in the effort, I promise you the rewards will be well worth it. End quote. That's genius. You can't hire someone else to do your push-ups for you. Are you doing your own push-ups? What do you know you need to be doing that you're not currently doing? Let's top five that one. In the PDF, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and some lines to jot them down. What are five things you know you need to be doing that you're not currently doing? Those are your push-ups. Identify them. Get on it. The next big idea, principle number one, take 100% responsibility. Quote, it is time to stop looking outside yourself for the answers to why you haven't created the life and results you want. For it's you who creates the quality of the life you lead and the results you produce. You, no one else. To achieve major success in life, to achieve those things that are most important to you, you must assume 100% responsibility for your life. Nothing less will do. End quote. I love this principle. It's Covey's habit number one, be proactive, of the 7 habits of highly effective people. You can see the notes on that. And it's the cornerstone of the wisdom of all great teachers, from East to West, classic to modern, philosophers to gurus to psychologists. Canfield shares a really cool formula to help us get the idea. E plus R equals O. The event plus our response equals the outcome. E plus R equals O. So an event happens. Sweet. The event is, in itself, neutral. To get all fancy-pants Buddhist about it, the event is empty. It has no meaning in and of itself. It's empty of meaning. Anyway, the event happens. We respond. We always have a choice as to how we respond. And it's always our response, mixed with the event, that determines the outcome. Now, when peeps are playing in victim mode, they think the equation goes E equals O. Something happens, and then there's an outcome. Event equals outcome. Stimulus, response. Reactivity rather than proactivity. Victim versus creator. Less than 100% responsibility versus 100% responsibility. Those of us committed to success, however, know it's our response that determines the outcome. In short, we need to take 100% responsibility for our lives. Canfield shares a great story to bring home his point. After the earthquake in 1994 in Los Angeles, and I happened to be there, and I vividly remember being essentially thrown out of my bed in Westwood where I was attending UCLA. After this earthquake, one of the major freeways took a beating. Some news reporters were knocking on commuters' windows, asking them what they thought. The first person was all angry and pissy and complaining about the fires and the floods and the earthquakes and how much he hated California. Yada, yada, Crimea River, ya. The second person was beamingly happy and said she left for work at 5 a.m. to do her best to get to work on time. And, knowing there'd be delays, she brought some Spanish language learning tapes, plus a book and a lunch and a full thermos. Life was good. Event plus response equals outcome, right? It wasn't event equals outcome. Same event, two different responses, two different outcomes. How are you responding to the events in your life? The only important question, right? If you want more success, happiness, joy, health, creativity, mojo, love, wealth, and all that is good in the world, you've got to pay attention to principle number one. Take 100% responsibility for your life. And make it a game. Don't take it too seriously. Have fun with it. See how you can create better and better outcomes by more and more consciously choosing your responses to the events in your life starting today. Brings us to principle number two. Be clear why you're here. Quote, you see, without a purpose in life, it's easy to get sidetracked on your life's journey. It's easy to wander and drift, accomplishing little. But with a purpose, everything in life seems to fall into place. To be on purpose means you're doing what you love to do, doing what you're good at, and accomplishing what's important to you. When you truly are on purpose, the people, resources, and opportunities you need naturally gravitate toward you. The world benefits too, because when you act in alignment with your true life purpose, all of your actions automatically serve others. End quote. Beautiful. Again, everyone talks about the importance of finding our purpose. That's probably why it's principle number two. And we talk about it nearly every one of these notes. The question, of course, is how do I discover my purpose? Canfield goes off on this, starting with the fact that our guidance system will let us know if we're on target or not by how good we feel doing what we're doing. Think Joseph Campbell's Follow Your Bliss and Abraham Hicks's emotional guidance system here. He also provides, and you can see the notes on those, he also provides some cool exercises. Here's a quick look at one of the really cool ones. He starts with this, and in the PDF you can see how I've outlined this to help you write it down. So if you haven't downloaded and printed it out, you might dig that. Number one, list two of your unique personal qualities. My example would be enthusiasm and optimism. How about you? What are two unique personal qualities? Press pause if you need to think about it and get clear on that. In the PDF, you can write them down in the space I provide. Now, number two, list one or two ways you enjoy expressing those qualities when interacting with others. My example of how I use enthusiasm and optimism, I like to inspire and empower people. How about you? How do you like to use your two qualities when you're interacting with other people? List one or two ways you use those two qualities. Then the third thing is, assume the world is perfect right now. What does this world look like? How is everyone interacting with everyone else? What does it feel like? Write your answer as a statement in the present tense, describing the ultimate condition, the perfect world as you see it and feel it. Remember, a perfect world is a fun place to be. So think about that. You may want to press pause and rewind, actually, and listen to that one again. My example is, in a perfect world, everyone is joyfully living their greatest lives, celebrating every moment as they give their greatest gifts in greatest service to the world. How about you? Number four, combine the three prior subdivisions of this paragraph into a single statement, right? So you take your top two unique personal qualities, how you express those, and what your perfect world looks like, and then you put them into one paragraph. It's a pretty cool thing, one simple statement. My example would be, my purpose is to use my enthusiasm and optimism to inspire and empower others to joyfully live their greatest lives, celebrating every moment as they give their greatest gifts in greatest service to the world. Got it? Awesome. Now write it down and read it at least once a day and align your life to live in integrity with that purpose. Pretty cool stuff. Check out the PDF. There's a really helpful way, I think, for you to capture this. I think you'll dig it. So there you go. Principle number two, be clear why you're here. Next big idea is make an I want list. Quote, one of the easiest ways to begin clarifying what you truly want is to make a list of 30 things you want to do, 30 things you want to have, and 30 things you want to be before you die. This is a great way to get the ball rolling. End quote. That great exercise is from a section talking about the fact that we've got to know what we want in life if we have any chance of getting it. As Ben Stein says, the indispensable first step to getting the things you want out of life is this: decide what you want. So what do you want? Everything goes perfectly in your life. What's it look like? If you're like most people, you kind of sputter on that question. I know I have and still do at times. Why is that? One of the main reasons is that we spend nearly all of our time simply responding to the day-to-day challenges of our world, and very little time reflecting on what we really want. So make yourself an I want list, will you? I just did it. The process rocks. 30 things you want to do, be, and have in your life. Get on that. The next big idea, it's all about attitude. Quote, when baseball great Ty Cobb was 70, a reporter asked him, what do you think you'd hit if you were playing these days? Cobb, who had a lifetime batting average of .367, said, about .290, maybe .300. The reporter replied, that's because of the travel, the night games, the artificial turf, and all the new pitches like the slider, right? No, said Cobb, it's because I'm 70. Now that's believing in yourself. End quote. No, it's because I'm 70. That's amazing. As Henry Ford said, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. It's all about attitude. So what do you really want in your life as per that list you just made? Do you think you can have it? Whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. All right, that leads us to the next big idea. 18-40-60. Quote, I like Dr. Daniel Amen's 18-40-60 rule. When you're 18, you worry about what everybody is thinking of you. When you're 40, you don't give a darn what anybody thinks of you. When you're 60, you realize nobody's been thinking about you at all. Surprise, surprise, most of the time, nobody's thinking about you at all. They are too busy worrying about their own lives. And if they are thinking about you at all, they are wondering what you are thinking about them. People think about themselves, not you. Think about it. All the time you are wasting worrying about what other people think about your ideas, your goals, your clothes, your hair, and your home could all be better spent on thinking about and doing the things that will achieve your goals. End quote. That's funny. And so true, huh? Dale Carnegie says something similar in his great book, How to Stop Worrying and Start Living. Great book. You can see the notes on that. He says, I realize now that people are not thinking about you and me or caring what is said about us. They are thinking about themselves before breakfast, after breakfast, and right on until 10 minutes past midnight. They would be 1,000 times more concerned about a slight headache of their own than they would about the news of your death or mine. End quote. Pretty strong way to put it. Let's quit wasting our precious energy worrying about what other people think of us and direct it into creating our ideal lives, shall we? Say yes. Yes, yes, yes. Good answer. All right, the next big idea is become an inverse paranoid. Quote, my earliest mentor, W. Clement Stone, was once described as an inverse paranoid. Instead of believing the world was plotting to do him harm, he chose to believe the world was plotting to do him good. Instead of seeing every difficult or challenging event as a negative, he saw it for what it could be, something that was meant to enrich him, empower him, or advance his causes. What an incredibly positive belief. Imagine how much easier it would be to succeed in life if you were constantly expecting the world to support you and bring you opportunity. Successful people do just that. End quote. Well, that's one awesome way to look at the world. What's the biggest challenge, disappointment, ack thing in your life right now? How can you see the seed of opportunity in it? How can you make your current perspective 10 times more positive and constructive? And remember to ask yourself, self, you got to make sure you start with the self. Self, are we inverse paranoids or just plain old straight up paranoids? Which way do you see the world? As a conspiracy to help you or conspiring to bring you down? Choose wisely. Go for the inverse paranoid role. Next big idea, clarity plus consistency equals mojo. Quote, think of it this way. If you are clear where you are going with goals and you take several steps in that direction every day, you eventually have to get there. If I head north out of Santa Barbara and take 5 steps a day, eventually I have to end up in San Francisco. So decide what you want, write it down, review it constantly, and each day do something that moves you toward those goals. End quote. Simple, powerful stuff. S.N. Guenca, my Vipassana teacher who I mention often, says, work diligently, diligently. Work patiently and persistently. Patiently and persistently. And you're bound to be successful. Bound to be successful. Same rules apply whether we're talking about enlightenment or financial freedom. Know what you want. Move toward your goals. You're going to get there eventually. Next big idea. 99% is a bitch. 100% is a breeze. Quote, successful people adhere to the no exceptions rule when it comes to their daily disciplines. Once you make a 100% commitment to something, there are no exceptions. It's a done deal. Non-negotiable, case closed, over and out. End quote. This has been by far one of the most powerful ideas I've ever integrated into my life. What are you committed to in your life? Waking up with the sun, meditating in the morning, exercising daily, no longer lashing out at your family, removing refined sugars, red meat, etc. from your diet. Whatever it is, check in and see how committed you really are. And know this, 99% is a bitch. 100% is a breeze. Let's say you decide that meditating every day will be your new ritual. You've done the research, see the benefits, and decide to go for it. Good decision, by the way. Now, if you have to think about whether or not you're going to honor that commitment every day, there's no way you're going to honor it. Impossible. You're going to have that little whiny voice pop up that says something along the lines of, oh, you deserve a little more sleep this morning. Plus, it's just a day. You deserve a day off. And those peeps who are so committed are way too rigid anyway. Relax. Be flexible. Or whatever your voice says and sounds like, there's some equivalent. So figure out what daily practices define your destiny, and then make your commitments to those rituals non-negotiable, period. Actually, make that an exclamation point. Seriously, try it out. It may sound harsh, but it's really liberating. Frees up so much energy when you don't need to think about whether today's the day you'll break. And speaking of energy, check out The Power of Full Engagement. We talk about the importance of developing rituals in that note. It's fascinating stuff. You really want to get into that and channel your energy most powerfully. Leads us to the final big idea, a whole new set of habits and self-disciplines. Quote, you can't do everything at once, but if you keep adding a little progress every day, over time, you will have built a whole new set of habits and self-disciplines. Remember, anything valuable takes time. There are no overnight successes. It took me years to learn and implement all of the principles in this book. I have mastered some and am still working on mastering others. End quote. That's brilliant. It takes time to build these new set of habits and self-disciplines. There are no overnight successes. Let's just be patient, diligent, and persistent and watch what happens. We're bound to be successful. All right, well, that's a really quick look at a few of the incredible big ideas from what I think is a phenomenal book. If you're into mastering the success principles, pick it up, check it out. Let's become inverse paranoids who live on purpose, know what we want to do our own push-ups, and enjoy the success that is our destiny. That wraps up the text portion of the note. If you like this note, I think you'll also enjoy the note on overachievement, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, Mastery, The Power of Full Engagement, and the 80-20 Principle, and every other one I've written too, I think. All right, and now for some of the quotes from the side. This is from Richard Paul Evans. Everyone who got to where they are had to begin where they were. Ray Bradbury says, first you jump off the cliff and you build wings on the way down. Ken Blanchard says, there is a difference between interest and commitment. When you're interested in doing something, you do it only when it's convenient. When you're committed to doing something, you accept no excuses, only results. Jack Canfield says, it's amazing what happens to your self-confidence when you get eyeball to eyeball with yourself and you forcefully tell yourself what you're going to do. Whatever your dream is, look at yourself in the mirror and declare that you are indeed going to achieve it, no matter what the price. Napoleon Hill says, every negative event contains within it the seed of an equal or greater benefit. Next three are from Jack Canfield. He says, if you assume in favor of yourself and act as if it is possible, then you will do the things that are necessary to bring about the result. If you believe it is impossible, you will not do what is necessary and you will not produce the result. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. You must choose to believe that you can do anything you set your mind to, anything at all, because, in fact, you can. In the name of being sensible, we end up becoming numb to our own desires. Brian Tracy says, decide upon your major definite purpose in life and then organize all your activities around it. And finally, Jack says, the formula is simple. Do more of what is working, do less of what isn't, and try on new behaviors to see if they produce better results. Well, there you go. That's a really quick look at the success principles, at least a few of the big ideas from the great book by Jack Canfield. I hope you enjoyed. And pick up the book if you felt it. And I look forward to sharing more with you soon. Trust you're doing great. Have an awesome day.
We hope you enjoyed this Philosopher's Note. Please go to www.philosophersnotes.com to download more.